The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, how many know that we're preaching a kingdom? How many know that the kingdom that we're preaching looks different than this kingdom?
That's right.
There is a comparison in the book of Revelation where the city of Babylon, which I believe represents the demonic kingdom, the kingdoms of this world, all of the principles and the dynamics that make this world work, are contained in a governmental system that's demonic in nature. Now, I'm not saying that our government is demonic. Please hear me. Hear me there. But there is a spiritual dynamic behind the systems of this world. Okay? And then there is the system of the New Jerusalem, which is the systems of our God, the governmental parameters, the dynamics, the priorities of the kingdom of heaven. Now, as Luke was reading this morning about all the heroes of the faith, I was moved once again by how those people must have been seeing a different kingdom that made it worth it for them to lay down their lives and do just crazy, foolish, off-the-cuff stuff. Amen? I mean, if we would have been living back then, we would have looked at them, we'd have said, those guys are crazy. Them guys are fanatics. Right? There is somehow, there's a disjoint between the gospel that we preach and the belief system that is still so much directs how we act in this world. Right? I'm being honest. With me. Not you guys. Me. Okay. But there is something that God wants to do to bring an understanding, to shift mindsets, to shift priorities, to shift heart beliefs of this kingdom of God that is so superior. The kingdom we teach, the kingdom we preach, that which Jesus proclaimed that was so far superior, and it has direction and dynamics, and it has life in it. But it will cost you this kingdom. You cannot walk successfully in two kingdoms. There will be confusion surrounding you. There will be depression surrounding you. There will be frustration surrounding you. Can I just encourage you that if there's a bit of a frustration, if there's a bit of a tension in our hearts as the body of Christ, and it's in me. It's in me. Oh, we've got an announcement. That's awesome. I love people's telephone rings. They're all so different. But if there is a bit of a frustration in your heart and in my heart, it's because we are encountering a kingdom that looks so different from what we have experienced in the past, the way we've walked in the past, even some of the religion that we've done in the past, even some of the church that we've done in the past, even some of the stuff that once we held so dear to our hearts. It's like the kingdom of God is bringing a different revelation in this hour, in this day. And I want to encourage you that if you're kind of got this bit of a frustration that the songs that we sing and the word that we read, and it's just not lining up quite with our walk, welcome to my world. I mean, really, why do we come together from week to week? Do you ever ask that question? And I mean, you probably what in the world, what's going to happen this week at church? Oh, how boring. Why would we go? That's not what I'm saying. I ask this sincerely. I ask this as a pastor, as somebody who's given the responsibility to lead us into truth, for somebody that's given the responsibility to rightly and accurately represent the kingdom of God and its king. I ask myself often, what would it look like if King Jesus was here? What would it look like if Holy Spirit really did have control? What are the possibilities? And I don't do this in a way of condemnation. I just know that we're on a journey. I know we're going from a church culture that has one understanding, and we're moving in, as much as we know how to, into a church culture that has a kingdom vision and a kingdom understanding and all of the potential of that kingdom. See, a church culture is very narrow in its vision, it's very narrow in its scope, and it's very narrow in its power. But a kingdom vision, I mean, it's this narrow door that we come through, but it's an incredible and it's a vast kingdom that we're invited into. Now, I know these things. I believe these things. I'm pursuing these things. And there's a tension in my heart because I'm not seeing the things that I know to be true. I want to encourage us as a body. Allow the tension to break us. Don't allow the tension to discourage us. Don't allow the tension to dictate our belief system. You know, when your experience dictates what you believe concerning the Scriptures, you're always going to come out short. When we had I don't know about you, I was getting pretty whacked by the worship service this morning. I was getting whacked by the prophetic words. Why do we come together? You know, I love what Bill Johnson out of Bethel, Reading, you know that he's had a huge impact in my life and in many ways in the life of this church. One of the statements that he makes is that for centuries, the center of our coming together, it was the preaching of the word. Was the preacher gets up and gives a message, and that's kind of the centerpiece. He says, we are in a time where there's a movement into where the centerpiece is the presence. If there's something that can describe kind of the pursuit that I'm on as being the one that's responsible in many ways, me and others, I don't do this alone, but for those of us that are responsible to meet Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and the question's always in my heart, why are we meeting? What are we going for? What can we expect? I want to encourage you that what we're pursuing is for our, what we read and what we know of the kingdom, what we preach and teach, where it becomes reality. But here's the deal. It's not just so that it's reality when we come together Sunday after Sunday. If you heard the words this morning, it was about men and women of faith who saw a different kingdom. People back then would have said, you're crazy. You're nuts. What are you pursuing anyways? They would have thought, why would you die for that? But they had a vision. I want us as a people to have a vision of the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want us to have a real alive vision of who you are in Christ. Everything this morning, much of the worship, it was about you, dads, taking your family in your homes, doing a Jericho march, bringing down the walls. We don't ever orchestrate these things. Do you know that? Do you know that I never talk to the worship leader and tell her what I'm preaching on? I never talk to the worship leader and tell them, well, these are the songs that will fit real well with my message. for goodness sakes, half the time I don't know what I'm going to preach when I get here. You know, it's like, yeah, me tell her something? I don't think so. But the worship leader didn't direct Luke that this is what I'm going to be worshiping with, or anybody else that prophesied and that had a part in this meeting this morning. You know, I love all the different voices that have already spoken this morning. It's just part of my passion. I have a foundational belief that much of what God wants to do from Sunday to Sunday lies in the seats here. Now, you might think, boy, Pastor Dave, he never knows what he's doing, and Pastor Dave just kind of shows up and he lets things happen. That's not really true. I spend a lot of time preparing my heart, and I spend a lot of time in the Word, and I study a lot so that when whatever happens, happens, I'll be ready. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want you to think that Pastor Dave is just kind of, you know, has this thing where, yeah, winging it and and is just kind of out on a limb. No, that's not it. But there is this thing about moving in the Spirit where you have got to know who you are, and you have got to have a preparation of your heart, and you have got to come into a place where you are instant in season and out of season. Because the things that we're pursuing in here are only for the purpose of equipping, encouraging, strengthening, instructing, so that the things that we want to see happen in here are happening out there. I'll tell you, if this awesome presence of God remains only in this place, then I have failed at my job. This isn't about building a church. This isn't about building a location. This is about building a people who will go out into all the world and rightly represent Father God's heart to the nations. This is about building you up with a confidence in the Christ in you. I don't care what your failures are. I don't care what your hang-ups are. I don't care how little you feel. You have got the Spirit of the living God in you. And it's in you for a purpose. It's in you to make a difference in your world, wherever your world carries you. And the centerpiece of coming together as a body is to focus on Him who's the giver of all life. Now, I trust that my words are spirit and life. I've got Jesus in me, and I trust that. I mean, I know that I've got a part in that. But we all have a part. Coming together on a Sunday morning is not a spectator sport. You may not be ever be one that comes up and speaks or prophesies, but you know what? You have a part in what happens here on a Sunday morning. You have a part in the way the Spirit moves on the Sunday morning. By faith, you can release things by faith. See, during worship, there are times where I will break out in intercessory prayer. You can all break out in intercessory prayer. When you get a glimpse of what God wants to do and you start to make proclamation of that, it will have a part in changing the atmosphere, changing the direction, changing what happens here on any given Sunday morning. Right? You are not insignificant. I have a different part to play than you do, but I'll tell you what, I can't do my part without you doing your part. I know that my call is primarily to build the church up, that to equip the church. That's primarily who I am as a pastor. But I'll tell you what, if it just stays in this room, then the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing becomes pretty inwardly focused. So I want to encourage you. The words this morning were about you as a people having a confidence in the Christ in you, knowing that you can make a difference, that you can be light in the world. Now, people might look at you and say, you're nuts. You're crazy. That might be some pretty good evidence. There's some things that I want to talk about this morning because I really do. I'm mainly exhorting you right now, and I haven't really started preaching my message, but my exhortation really is leading us somewhere here this morning because I really do. I take it seriously. Why do we come together? I am not satisfied with the status quo. I cannot be satisfied with the fact that, well, we come to church on a Sunday morning out of our weekly duty. Or we come together to be fed. Or we, those are all good things. Commitment's good. All those things are good. But there's got to be something more why we come together on a Sunday morning. In the book of Acts, 3,000 or so got saved. And the testimony was that they came together daily, meeting from house to house. And they had fellowship. They broke bread together. They listened to the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teachings. You know, those are all really good reasons. And those are some of the reasons that we wanted to come together when we come together. Have you ever thought about it, how imperfect the apostles' doctrines were that they were listening to? And think about it. They still didn't realize that the gospel had been opened to the Jews or to the Gentiles. In fact, a lot of the revelation of grace hadn't even come into the apostles' doctrine until Paul got it some 14, 15 years later, 20 years later. And so they were sitting under an imperfect doctrine, an imperfect teaching. But they fellowshipped in that. I want to just encourage you that the apostles' doctrine is still a good reason to come together. Not the original 12s, yes, the original 12s, but I'll tell you what, there is still an apostolic voice that's going out into the church that releases a message from heaven, a message that's sent from heaven that is current and for today. That the apostolic is always going to see what God is doing in heaven right now and say, let's get that done on earth. That's the job of the apostle. That's the apostolic voice. And there, we still will gather around an apostolic message. Right? I know that might blow some of you away thinking, well, all the apostles died and their teaching is sacred. Yeah, it is. It is sacred. But it wasn't complete. Pardon me?
It was a foundation.
It was foundation to be built on. That God has been adding to. Thank you.
Welcome.
Spoken like a true teacher. But that flies in the face of much of what we've been taught. We've been taught, well, the canon is perfected. It's done. And yes, I love the Word of God. Please, please, please hear my heart. I love the Word of God. I build my life on the Word of God. But the book's still being written. The book of Acts is still being written. And there is a revelation of the character and the nature of God that is for today. It will never oppose what's written. It will never negate what's written, but it will bring a different direction of how to bring heaven to earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know in some circles I'd be being stoned right now, but you got to know my heart. A revelation of the resurrected Jesus Christ and the resurrection power. Yep, heaven on earth. You see, what we're pursuing, there's lives that depend on it. Rick West is here right now. He's got a pretty severe diagnosis of cancer. And we have got to see this kind of kingdom power manifested for the sake of Rick West, for the sake of Bob, for the sake of Kevin who comes, for so many. Yeah. Get rid of it. So that's the gospel that we're preaching. That's the gospel that we're teaching. That's the gospel that we're going for. I want to talk a little bit about the freedom that we have in this house. How many have ever wondered, how does this work? Have you ever wondered What is this when you have an open mic and everybody and anybody can come in and start talking on the open mic? Have you ever wondered how that works? I've wondered how it works. And do you know that many people won't have an open mic? And there's a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons is that there's a fear that somebody's going to come in and they're going to say something that doesn't line up. And that's a very real concern that I have. It is a concern that we have as leaders. But it's not enough of a concern for me to negate freedom. See, one of the evidences that we have freedom is that people can make mistakes. Right? Have you ever seen freedom happen where people haven't made mistakes? Why is the Church of Jesus Christ so afraid of people making mistakes? Why do we run our services with such pristine timing and accuracy that everything has to go like this? Otherwise, when something doesn't go like that, everybody goes, oh, did you see that? You know, we had a wedding yesterday and there were some things that didn't just go like that. And you could hear it in the audience. It's like the air got sucked out of the room. And see, my desire is that that when mistakes happen here, that we're okay. If you're not making mistakes, you're not taking risk. If you're not making some kind of mistake, you're not taking a step out. The apostles all made mistakes. You know, Peter made a mistake. How many know that Peter made a big mistake when he denied Christ to a little girl? In evangelical circles, that would be the unforgivable sin, right? If you deny Christ, no, the Antichrist is going to come. And if you take his number in your forehead and on your arm, or if you, you are going to lose your salvation, you're going to go to hell, and there's no getting out of it. I mean, right? Anybody ever heard that teaching? Can I just say that I'm glad I have Peter for an example who denied Christ and Jesus came and restored him. It's not an excuse. I don't want everybody taking liberty, running out and denying Christ. No, please don't run with stuff where I'm not going. But I'm glad that I have an example of somebody who failed in one of the most miserable ways and Jesus restored him. Jesus brought him back into the fold. Jesus started to proclaim things over him about his destiny and says, no, Peter, you're not disqualified. You've made some mistakes. That qualifies you. How many know that many of your mistakes are just to prove to you that you're weakness, that you have weakness? Many of your mistakes, many of my sins, many of the things that I struggle with have just served to teach me how much I desperately need grace. That I can't just receive grace for salvation, but I have got to receive grace for walking. I have got to receive a grace for living. See, grace isn't just so, well, we got you in the door now. Now you're on your own. Good luck. And be good, by the way. You know? How many have tried that route? It doesn't work. So I want to encourage us that as a body that we're not afraid of mistakes. But having said that, we want to conduct ourselves in a way with having an open mic that maintains freedom, that serves to promote freedom. Freedom is never a free-for-all. Freedom is a freedom to hear the voice of God and to be obedient. If you have an idea that we have a free-for-all here, can I just encourage you that you have to be on the other side when some people have taken some liberty that was not right and we've had to lovingly confront. Now, you haven't heard about that, but there are times where we have to confront things behind the scenes. Why? Because I am so concerned about preserving freedom. I am so concerned that a message doesn't come through here that is going to bind you, that's going to bring you into bondage, that's going to teach you something that's opposite of what the kingdom of God preaches and teaches. Now, thankfully, we've never really had anything, very few times have we had anything come through, and this is amazing, Very few times have we had anything come through this microphone that's had to been addressed publicly. Very seldom. And even when it wasn't that the word was wicked and evil. It was just an insensitive word that needed to be corrected and needed to be brought some back into the context of love. Right? Mm-hmm. Having said all that, what I want to do is we have never really, as far as having an open mic, we've never really taught and given some parameters, given some instructions in how to do this thing. Part of the reason for that is I personally have wanted to step way back from that so that people would feel really free. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing so many come and prophesy and taking the risk, taking the step. And I'm just so happy for that. But we have had some things, let's say a couple months ago, and it wasn't somebody from this body, and we did talk to them. So if I didn't talk to you, this is not about you. Okay? I want to clarify that. And the word that was brought was not a bad word. It wasn't that it contained some kind of error that needed to be corrected. If it had, I would have had to do that with you. But the word was the type of word that was carrying some instruction that should not have come from the outside. It was something that kind of instruction should have come from us. And it was done in a way that was during a worship service that didn't really lend to the worship service. It kind of took us out of the worship service. And for protection of the person who I really admire, the person that did this, I really admire him. And he responded to my challenges very, very well. And for his protection, I'm not going to say who he was. But the way it came and the way it shifted us out of worship kind of brought some confusion. And it just came to my understanding that we need to have this time where we talk a little bit about what does it look like when we come together. Why are we coming together? We have to have that nailed down first. But what does it look like? I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is really a chapter in the scripture. A lot of 1 Corinthians, Paul was bringing correction to a newfound church that had just come out of paganism. And how many know that they probably had some challenges ahead of them and probably needed some teaching, needed some correcting? And so Paul in chapter 14 really talks about this coming together. What does it look like when we come together? How can we as a body, and this is my goal, how can we as a body come together, get a unity and a unified voice in what Holy Spirit is speaking, so it doesn't just come from Pastor Dave when he preaches the message. It comes from the Spirit of the living God, and it comes through many different voices, and it all dovetails into unity. How many have seen that here? Is that amazing? I get blown away when it happens. I love it. I love it when I get up to preach, and my message has already been sung and preached and taught by several different voices. And all I got to do is come and say amen to it. That's awesome. But it's a mystery how that stuff happens, isn't it? Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to lay out some parameters that will help us to protect that freedom. Okay? Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. By the way, prophecy, I like to describe prophecy as it's both foretelling, this is according to Strong's, but it's also speaking under the inspiration of God. So it's foretelling and it's forthtelling. Sometimes a prophetic voice is just telling forth, giving description to what's already happening in the spirit realm. It's not necessarily saying 5 years from now this is going to happen. And we need to understand both dynamics of the prophetic voice. We have been mentored here by Alan Ross. How many know Alan Ross, our prophet friend from Glasgow? Have you ever noticed his prophetic words over people? He almost always says, this is what has happened, this is what is happening, and this is what's going to happen. It's kind of like the book of Revelations, where Jesus says you're going to see things that have been, things that are to come. And that's part of the dynamic of a prophetic ministry, that it will articulate some things that maybe Alan, when he scares me. You know, I've heard him prophesying over somebody one time, talking about all these diseases and all this sickness. And I mean, I looked at this person, I thought she was really healthy. And so I was saddling up in the room of inspiration, in the bathroom, you know, where her husband was there. And I says, by the way, and I'm kind of gritting my teeth and little, you know, chewing my finger, how was that word over your wife? And he says, oh man, it's accurate. She has had this and this and this and this and this. I said, you're kidding. How did Alan know that? You know? But these are things that have been, things that are to come. So in the prophetic, on any given Sunday, we're going to have a proclamation of things that have been, things that are, and things that are to come. The things that are to come can be considered foretelling. The things that are and the things that have happened are forthtelling, just speaking forth the things that the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize. Okay? You, in your ministry, with the Christ in you, the hope of glory, can I encourage you that you prophesy wherever you go? You can prophesy at your business. You can prophesy at your school. You can prophesy in your neighborhood. And it doesn't have to say, well, thus saith the Lord. This is, you know. No. You know, it can become so much more natural than that. And this prophetic gift, desire spiritual gifts. Go for spiritual gifts. Long for spiritual gifts. But this isn't the only place those spiritual gifts are meant to be. In fact, I believe they're more powerful outside the walls than they are inside the walls. So go for it. If you've been confused with prophecy, many of you prophesy and you don't even know it. I've had people come to me and say, well, I don't know how to prophesy. And then they'll tell me incredible things, what the Holy Spirit's doing and what the Holy Spirit's speaking. It's like, what do you mean? You're prophesying. So desire spiritual gifts that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. I want to move over to verse 12. I'm going to highlight just a number of these verses. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. I want to move over to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three. And it goes on to give some more dynamics, some more parameters. Okay. There's two words that are threaded throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The first one is edification, edify, edifies. If you're into the King James, it's edifieth. There's that word of edify, or an edification. And what it basically means, it's an architectural term that means to build something. It's to build an edifice. That's where we get the word edifice from. And there is a building going on any given. There's a building going on in the body of Christ. There's a building that goes on. One of the reasons we come together is so that there is a continuation of the building of who we are as a tribe in the body of Christ. Who we are as a local voice in the body of Christ. We have a uniqueness. We have an identity. We have not that we're better than everybody else. We're just different than everybody else. And that's okay, because we are a block that needs to fit into the building in the church of the city of Jesus Christ, or of Elk River, and into a region and into a state and into a world that we have a very, very important part. But I tell you what, we need to be built to fit into that. You as individuals need to be built to carry out your destiny in the kingdom of God. So we come together for edification. Anything that we do here on a Sunday morning is, number one, it's meant to build you, the body of Christ. If I'm looking to build my church, I'm wrong. If I'm looking to build my reputation, I'm wrong. I want to look to build the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. If you're prophesying and you're coming up and using this microphone to minister something in a prophetic way during worship, then I want to encourage you. It must edify. It must build up. It cannot be about you. It has got to be, this is a message from the Lord that He has. It's for the body of Christ. The second thing that, the other word that is threaded throughout, besides the correction on the gift of tongues, okay, I'm not even going to touch that one. But the word understanding, you'll find 9 or 10 times throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how important it is for there to be an understanding of the things that happen here. How many have an understanding of the things that happened in worship this morning? How many understand that there was a transference, an offer from God, and a challenge from God, a call from God, whatever you want to put it, and it was extended to us as a body, and it was meant for us to be received by faith? Does that make sense? You see, every time we come together, and during our worship times that are so precious, there is something, how many have seen how many times God has extended something to us? And having understanding in what's being spoken, what's being taught, means that we know how to receive it. We know how to receive what's being given to us. Why? So that we can walk in it. So it can be part of the fabric of our lives. So it can be part of the foundation of who we are. So we can live from that place. God has been hammering away at us for years now on our identity. And yet I meet people all the time that still are confused about their identity, confused about their righteousness, confused about the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I just have a feeling that God is going to continue to pour that into us so that we can start to live our lives, order our lives, walk our lives in a way of understanding. Understanding the times and the seasons that we're in. Understanding who we are as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Understanding how humility works in that revelation. That it doesn't lift you up like, well, I'm a king's kid. Nothing can touch me. I tell you what, you want to get touched and shot down pretty quick? Have that attitude. It doesn't work. How many want to walk in these spiritual gifts? How many want to walk in them with understanding? Understanding, knowing in your knowing, in your knower. Knowing in your knower the things that are being offered to you. The things that have already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. This thing of faith, being able to receive it. Have it inside of you. So now all of a sudden you walk with that and what's inside. You know that what you believe in here is the way you walk out here. Oh, you might say, well, no, it isn't. Yeah, I can fake it for a while. You can fake it for a while. You can pretend like you are walking in righteousness. But I tell you what, until you get a revelation of the righteousness that comes by faith, you cannot walk in righteousness. It has got to be a knower in your knower that you are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is because of the finished work of the cross. That is by grace that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When that becomes foundational in who you are, all of a sudden your actions start looking like that. So how do we protect this freedom? There are several dynamics that I want us to understand when we come together and when we have this open mic. By the way, I so love where we've been going in worship. Okay? And all of the plucks on the guitar. I heard Jordan make a mistake this morning. It wasn't perfect on his guitar. Yeah, don't tell Jordan I said that, but, I heard it. And I heard a crack in somebody else's voice, and it wasn't about the perfection, but there was a pursuit. Did you see the pursuit this morning? And I love where they're going with worship. But what I love was the freedom that all of a sudden that kind of worship, which is prophetic in nature, brought out proclamations that were prophetic. And the proclamations that were prophetic, you saw one word lead into another word, which led into another word, where all of a sudden we started to understand that there was an impartation of something. There was a giving of something. There was an offer. And there is this interaction. You've heard me say many times that I believe worship is to be interaction. I want to get past the thing where we come in, we sing, three hymns and sing a few songs, and we sing to God. That's an old paradigm that we have got to overcome. You have got to know that in worship there is an interaction where you just worship Him, and then He speaks something to your heart, and all that does is it stirs up more worship in you, and then He brings another revelation of His love for you, and you receive that, and then all of a sudden, whoa, there's more worship coming from my heart. Do you see it? I'll tell you, the making proclamations of His greatness and His glory, and just from a rote religious mindset, doesn't do it anymore. Am I stepping on some religious ducks here? So some instructions and some safeguards. The prophetic, first of all, here's some things, here's some dynamics that we're looking for when we minister as the body of Christ. The prophetic must always follow the flow of a meeting. In other words, there's a catching of the river. Marcy, could you share that vision that you had this morning? Marcy shared a vision with me that really articulates this well. Is it on? Did somebody shut it off? There you go.
When we were praying in the prayer room this morning, I just had a vision of a river, and the river was flowing, and I just had a sensing that, as we come together on any given Sunday morning, I feel like that's kind of can be a picture of, where we're going, is that there's a flow of a river, and obviously Scripture bears that out. But when I just saw this picture of the river, and part of it was a little bit comical, because I'm looking at this river, and then all of a sudden I see these fish jump up, and I see little bubbles above their head. And I see one of the bubbles is joy. Another bubble is, a different word. Another bubble is a different word. And then they just go back down into the deep, into the river. And I felt like it was kind of a picture, kind of what Dave is talking about, a little bit about the prophetic. But I guess the thing that I wanted to say is in the process of seeing the river, the Lord, I was struck by the fact that the river is flowing, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous, and there can be places in the river where there's rapids, where it's intense and it's rushing and it's going over rocks and it's splashing, and all that. But it's all part of the river. But I was struck by the whole fact of that, whether it's a just the flow of the river or whether it's crashing or whatever, there's parameters in that river. Yeah. There is banks in the river. And I don't know, I was just struck by that in how the river always seems to, obviously is always carried because of what God has set in motion, but there's banks to that. And we all obviously know when something happens, when the water goes over the banks, it can be very devastating. And so I don't know, I just shared that with Dave because I really felt like it was a part of a picture of, kind of how God is leading us and teaching us as far as how to flow in the Spirit.
Good. Thank you, Marcy. Yeah, that's a very accurate picture of what what I'm doing here today, is that we want to know freedom. How many know that a river without banks doesn't have freedom? I mean, if there are no banks on the river, it becomes a lake. You know, if there's no banks on the river, there's no channel directing it where it's going to flow to. Have you ever seen rivers with uneven banks? You know, one bank's down here. How high can that river be built? Only as far as the lowest bank. And so we have a responsibility to bring truth along with freedom. Freedom is always in encountered by truth, or truth is always encountered in freedom. But part of truth is that both of the riverbanks of freedom and parameters have to be in check. They have to be preached together, right? It's not freedom isn't a free-for-all. A free-for-all, you can have a teaching about freedom that lowers the one bank of responsibility. And if you have a freedom that doesn't carry responsibility, how high is your river going to be? So what we're talking this morning about is we have responsibility in this freedom. Freedom is always going to bring responsibility. How responsible can you be with your freedom? Adam and Eve had absolute freedom, right? They had freedom to miss it. They had freedom to fail, didn't they? And they did miss it. They did fail. But God so valued freedom that he didn't take away their choice to fail. However, he did have riverbanks that he put on that freedom. This tree you can eat of, this one you cannot eat of. See, the truth of God will always be the truth of God. And grace is never meant to excuse sin. Grace is meant to empower us to overcome sin. So the prophetic should always follow the flow in a meeting. There is a flow in any given time that we come together. There is a river that's flowing. Sometimes it's kind of hard to catch. Sometimes I come and I'm clueless what's going on. But then somebody out here will have a word that all of a sudden goes, oh, that's what's going on here. Or somebody else will have an exhortation, or during worship, one of the songs being sung will just kind of light up in my heart and it's, that's where this is going. See, this following the Spirit can be mysterious, can't it? But it really doesn't matter that it's mysterious. We're commanded to follow the Spirit. In your life, I'm talking about on the job site. I'm talking about raising your family. I'm talking about here too. So there's a flow in any given meeting, and much of the prophetic is going to be confirmation of what people already have in their hearts. Have you ever noticed that, well, at least for me, when I get a word from Alan Ross, or I hang around a lot of prophetic people, and I get prophetic things over my life all the time. And I would say 90% of the time, it just confirms something that I already know. Something the Lord's already been speaking to me about. And it's like it's a confirmation. And so it is with the prophetic here. Many times what you're going to hear is a confirmation of what's already flowing in the Spirit. The second thing, the prophetic has always got to come under the authority of the meeting. If we were to read over in verse 32, it says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I have seen in my days, walking 35 years in Charismania, I have seen kind of the rebellious prophet, the cowboy prophet, the prophet that says, I just couldn't help it. I had to speak it. And so they're bringing all sorts of damage and all sorts of correction and all sorts of stuff into a situation where they're not submitted under the authority of the local house. I believe that the highest authority in this house is not Pastor Dave. I believe it's the Board of Elders. I, as a pastor, come under their authority. Bob's not the highest authority in this building. Pastor Bob, if you ask him, he'll say he had to be welcomed in by the elders back into an apostolic calling that's on his life. So when I talk about authority, I really feel strongly about authority. Now, on a given Sunday, the elders have given me, I've got a delegated authority. They have said, Dave, We want you to run the meetings on a Sunday morning. We want you to pick who you think should preach, who should teach. We want you to, you know, to organize, to bring this thing together. And so now I function under a delegated authority. Now, I happen to know the heartbeat of the house. I happen to know, because I am an elder also, I know the heartbeat of what we're pursuing in the Spirit. And so everything that I do has to come under that authority. On a given Sunday morning, I delegate authority to a worship leader. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched me, but I will not usurp their authority. Most often, I'll wait till they make contact with me, eye contact with me, and they say, yep, I feel like I'm done. I feel like we're done with worship. Why do I do that? Because if I want to trust somebody with a ministry, I've got to trust their authority. I can't give them a ministry without giving them authority, and it's an authority that I'll come under. Now, if that authority that they take doesn't come under the authority of the house, then we'll have some things to talk about on the side. Is this making sense? You guys look like you're eating dry bones or something. But I'm really trying to help us to understand how this works, that there is something in the Spirit, there are dynamics, there are parameters. Number one, I want you to feel safe. I want you to know that the freedom that we have is not a free-for-all. That's not what we're pursuing. But we are pursuing a freedom that releases a safety and a protection over the body. Okay? That's my goal here. It's not to bind, it's not to shame, it's not to condemn. It's to bring a true liberty, the kind of freedom that comes from the kingdom. So in authority, when the worship leader is playing, and if you've got this word burning, oh, I got this word, I got to get this word, I got a word. Can I just encourage you that you need to understand the authority that is there? And most often, have you noticed it? Most of our worship leaders will settle in a little bit to where you realize, they're not purposely going someplace right now. It's time for a word. Have you discerned that? Have you seen that? I'm trying to articulate what you're probably already seeing so that we have understanding in these things. How many have seen other times where the worship leader is really going somewhere and somebody comes up with a word and it cuts cross grain? Have you ever seen that? Don't condemn the people. It's just somebody making a mistake. That's not a big deal. How many? Repeat after me. I am free in this house to make mistakes. And it's no shame involved in it. Amen. There you go. It's not about shaming. It's about how do we learn to pursue what God's got us pursuing? How do we learn to, as a body, pursue this presence? How do we learn as a body to pursue the flow of the river? How do we learn to do this thing without having the leaders and then the spectators? That's what I'm after here. So there is given authority. Pay attention to the authority. Respect authority. Honor authority. Know when the authority is stepping back a little bit and welcoming some input into the given meeting. Okay? That's number two. We're people under authority and we're in authority. Number three, the prophetic should never change the direction of a given meeting. Now, let me explain that. Sometimes what's prophesied will change the place that I'm going. But it's never up to the prophet or the person bringing the message to change the direction of the meeting. It's never up to the person that's prophesying to call for a response, for instance. Why? Because me, as the one that has the authority and the responsibility for this meeting, I may have some things that God has spoken very clearly to me beforehand, and where the prophet wants to go, although it's a good word and it's a prophetic word, that's not where I feel like things should go. If you ever have a word like you feel like there needs to be a response or there needs to be a call, come and share it with me first. You know, and we can handle it that way. You're free to prophesy. You may all prophesy. But when it comes to changing the direction of a meeting, that has always got to be submitted to whoever is in authority. This morning, Bob led the service. He was in authority. Okay? Is that fair enough? That's something I just want to caution us about. That when you prophesy, just be aware of the authority and that for you to call for a change and a shift in the meeting can really bring some cross currents. Number one, many times the body hasn't recognized your authority to call for an action. Right? I mean, that happens. So we just want to be careful with that. If you give me a chance to call for the action, most often I will. But it really comes a lot better from myself or somebody else that's in authority in a meeting, one of the elders, Pastor Bob, with that kind of a word. Number four, the prophetic is never about the messenger. It's not about you. I'm preaching this morning, it's not about me. When you come and you bring a prophetic word, it's not about you. Luke, would you want to share what you shared with me this morning? Can you share that briefly? Luke had a good perspective on this with Mike Bickle not qualifying. It's on.
I was just reading rereading a book on prophecy here, and going through some of the initial troubles that Mike Bickle had down at Metro Fellowship down in Kansas City. Some of the things they learned. And one of the things they learned was, and a lot of times it happens with prophetic people who are trying to establish themselves as a prophetic voice, and any one of you could be a prophetic voice. But the need to establish yourself, you got to put that down the toilet. And a lot of times how that comes is trying to, let's see how I can put it, justify or why you're bringing a word. I feel like God really told me this urgently this morning, that, and then you give this word. Just give the word.
Yeah.
Just give the word. The word is what's important. You don't need to explain why you feel you have to give it or the urgency that it beating in your heart and blah, 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 blah. You know, and a lot of times when we first get up, we can't, you know, we're just, our heart's beating out of our chest, and sometimes we have to say something about that. But as you do it more and more, you realize it's about the message. It's not about how it's impacting me. This morning I couldn't help my tears. And I hope that didn't offend anybody, but that was not about me. I was being overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one other thing I had. What was it?
If you think of it, just interrupt me. Okay. That really is good. It's not about qualifying yourself. If you use the word I or me more than a couple of times in any particular prophecy, can I just encourage you to be aware of that and realize that you may be distracting from the message that the Father gave you for the people because you're drawing attention to yourself, how you received it, what happened, those kinds of things. And what I'm really encouraging is that when you come and prophesy, that there's the word of the Lord and then there's some fluff. Can I just encourage you that as you learn to prophesy, and we're all learning this stuff, okay? But as you learn to separate the fluff or the stuff that's for you from the word of the Lord to the congregation, your word will carry much more weight. It will be much more effective when you just bring the pure word of the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. This is what's for the body here, okay? So it's not about you. As a messenger, it's not about you. Right? The other thing, the fifth thing is that in context of what we're doing on a Sunday morning and especially during worship, that's not a time to bring a preaching or a teaching. If you have a preaching or a teaching, you need to talk to me because I am an authority, I'm an authority for this meeting. And I really do have some things that I'm pursuing. You may not think I do, but I do. I really do. Most often I know what I want to see accomplished in a meeting, I just don't want to dictate it and control it. That's all. And I want to be able to lay it. I'm willing to lay it down in a heartbeat. But during that time, if you're bringing a teaching or preaching, anything that's longer than, maybe 30, 40 seconds, maybe a minute, it's going to distract from where the meeting is going, where it has gone. Now, there are exceptions. Luke, this morning, was obviously, visibly shaken by the Spirit of the Lord with the word that he was carrying. And, there are some people in the house that carry a prophetic mantle that will do that. And I think Luke is one of them, Kathleen. They carry a propheticness about them that sometimes will be a little bit more in detailed, Casey, at times. And that's not what I'm talking about. There is a difference. But for most of us, when we get a prophetic word, it's meant to be released, let go, let for the leadership to discern, and then you're just the messenger. You step back. It's not about you. You leave the message alone. But for you to bring a teaching or a preaching, in fact, I will encourage, one of the things I've been encouraging people is, can you keep it short? And it's not that I'm picking on anybody. It's just that I want us to understand this principle, that it's not about your teaching or your preaching. It's about what has the Lord given you in a nutshell so that the body can receive. See, because otherwise what happens is, and we would have read it, but you find out that the words can be so many and so varied, and they can carry so many different emphases that we lose track of anything. You know what I mean? It becomes confusion. I mean, we've heard 7 or 8 prophecies at times in this house. Is that right or isn't it? Well, Pastor Dave, don't you know there are only 2 or 3 of my... No, I don't see that. I don't interpret that way. But I do see a wisdom in the fact that there has to be a limited number of prophetic voices on a given worship service. Otherwise, we just lose track of it. Right? I want to finish by reading verses 31 through 33. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Okay, let's read that together. But let's use I. I can prophesy, right? I can prophesy one by one that all can learn and all can be encouraged. You can all prophesy. Prophecy is not relegated to the real spiritual guys. If you can hear the heartbeat of the Lord, you can prophesy. And you can prophesy in this house. You can prophesy outside of these walls. But the prophecies that are on a Sunday morning have got to come in the flow of the river. They've got to come under the authority of the house. They've got to be about what the Lord is saying to us as a body, to encourage us, to build us up, to edify us. That doesn't stop you from prophesying. You may all prophesy. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I have heard people talk about, well, I've just had the fire was shut up in my bones and I had to speak. Well, gently, very gently. I don't see that. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You are commanded and called to keep your spiritual man under control. Luke.
You know, let me say this. When we come with our own agenda,
yeah,
or we don't trust the leadership in this house, we're in big trouble. And if you come with a word because you think the leadership is missing it, then you should be in prayer, not prophesying. If you come with the word, if you feel you have a word that is because the leadership is missing where we should be going, you need to go to the eldership.
Yeah.
This is not the place for dueling prophets, or this is what I think should be happening. And I know because I've been there. I mean, I've been in a place, not here, but at different places, you know, where you bring a word that you think should be a corrective word. And we just have to be in a place of trust.
Yeah.
You know, I've been an elder and I've walked with these guys. I know them and I trust them and they trust me. I've kind of got a inside track in some ways because I know how much they trust me and I know how much I trust them. But developing trust and not carrying your own agenda are really, 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 really important.
Thank you, Luke. Verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. What we're pursuing here is peace. We're pursuing joy. We're pursuing things that look like the kingdom, the fruits of the Spirit. And the spirit of the prophet needs to be subject to that and to the kingdom and into the atmosphere that we're building into the house. Everybody okay? Are you aware that what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching, the some of the parameters that I'm drawing here are for safety and they're for protection, they're for freedom? And I don't want in any ways, if you have prophesied in this house and you've done some of the things that I have said, well, you shouldn't do that. Please, I don't even know who you are. I have nobody in mind. I really don't. God has gifted me with such a short memory. Serious. I feel bad because I can counsel with somebody and next week they'll come and they'll want to talk about what they talked about. I forgot what they talked about. It's like, come on. And I don't have any axes to grind. I've got nothing. What I do have is a heart that wants to see something built here for the presence of God that is forerunning, that we haven't seen anyplace else, that is unique for this house, designed for this house. I oftentimes, you know, Henry talks about putting our messages on podcasts and stuff. I often think, how in the world would you ever do that with us? Because a lot of the message is preached during worship by preachers and teachers and prophetic people that if you don't get that, you've missed the message. But you know what? I'm not after a soundbite. I'm after a lifestyle. And I'm after some dynamics that will cause us to be a people of freedom, a people of liberty. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just bless this people. God, I thank you that we are prophetic people. God, I thank you that you have released in this body a propheticness, God, an ability to prophesy, an ability to foretell, and an ability to foretell. Father, I thank you that there's just an impartation of that spiritual gift in this house. And Father, we pray for a greater release in our services. Father, we pray for greater release outside of our services. God, that we as a people will be those who will know the voice of the Lord, who will articulate the voice and the heartbeat of our Father. Lord, that your sheep hear your voice, they know you, you know them, and we follow you. And God, that's the bottom line of what we're doing here. And how we do that as a community of believers, how we do that as a tribe, how we do that on a given Sunday morning, God, I'm just so grateful. I thank you, God, for the amazing way people have stewarded prophecy in this house. I'm so grateful for the amazing way people have come under an authority and in submission. And Father, we thank you that you're going to continue to increase effectiveness in us as a body. In Jesus' name, amen.